But I've chosen somebody. Why was I born in the house of a normal civil servant farmer? No, I have to be born in a family where my mother was the granddaughter of the godfather, and my father was a fascist terrorist. So try to combine this heritage where we have this real tension here. But my parents were saved by the grace of God. My parents were disinherited twice for being Protestants. What is the cost? If you want to be a true Christian, then there is a serious cost. They were ostracized. I remember my grandmother parading in the presence for those who are, when you sit in Italy, we have First Communion. Roman Catholic, you're christened as a child, when you are 8, you get confirmed and then First Communion. And it's a big tradition of giving a lot of presents. And my grandparents were to the utmost to tell us, you don't get anything because you're not Protestant. I tell that to a little one. So the privilege. But as I said, I had the privilege to being brought up in a Christian family. Not only that, I had the privilege of going to the only Christian school in the country. So I had a lot of privileges. But because I was a certain age, I regarded my father as a failure. I don't want to be a failure. I don't want to be. Yes, I believe in God, but I believe in philosophy. I believe in ideologies which require strength. So here, and balance and domination. So here you are, you have Manasseh doing all we got, that was, which was evil in the synagogue and of the Lord, and what does the scripture is very clear what does he do to promote the Lord. If you don't make a look at the first three, there's a rebellion. The rebellion starts little and then it spreads like a disease from a wildfire in the heart of man, and the person who has the privilege of knowing the things of God, when it begins to rebel, it doesn't stop until it gets really bad. J.C. Ryle, the bishop, had a sign of time against him. If an evangelist in the course of history had their sons turn against him. I heard of the stories of people who are home shameful businesses, I call them that for the delicacy of the people present, who actually have children of believers. So here you are, the interesting thing is, once the rebellion starts, what does Manasseh do? He builds. He builds again the high places. Hello, my friend. The high places were not, you know, it did not like to appear on a tall place. I like hills. I am sitting around mountains. You took me to the seaside and bored. Taking from mountains, I love it. I grew up in the mountains. High places were places where people offered sacrifices to deities, fertility rituals, which involved morality. We will leave it there. He built again the high places which Ezekiah are broken down. In my life, I wanted to be a soldier and reorganize and succeed in what my father had failed. I come from a military family. My father's father was soldiers. The Lord had a good sense of humor. I was refused by the army when I was 18. I felt like I was a complete failure. There you are. He had broken down and rid up the high places, he rid up the altars for Baalim, made groves. We will not get to the abomination of the groves, the word there, not the meaning, about certain kind of worship, the sake of delicacy, we will not go into the particulars of that kind of worship. But it doesn't stop there. Because Hea was doing that. The king of Israel were doing the same kind of things. Oh no, it was not sufficient. He had to do more. They repented. He built the altars inside the temple. My friends, he built the altars to the host of heaven. He worshipped Astaroth, Astarte, Ishtar, Venus, inside the temple of Jehovah. I don't know if you have a classical education. When I was in Sicily, I studied it, and I was studying the only Protestant school of the town of my high elementary school, but I was admitted to the Jesuit College for my high school education. I'm the only Protestant who can claim to be educated by a saint. My teacher was made a saint by the present Pope. I learned all the Roman Catholic theology from him. A Jesuit college and a saint as a teacher. Well, that's quite interesting things to learn. And we learn all about these pagan things as well. And the Italian Church is the Roman Catholic Church, which is these are okay. They are distorted way, but God will not still accept. He calls his children to pass through the fire of. But in the fire of the Sanctuary of San Marino. For you, it's a bit foreign. If you come to Sicily, I will show you a place. The little island of Sicily, where an Englishman found these things. He would fire little jars with little skeletons in. Human sacrifice, children sacrifice. The thing was, they had a statue of Molech made of bronze and fire, and they put a child, a newborn baby, in the hands of his roasting idol, and the mothers had to sing when they saw the firstborn die. Now, this is something you want to know. Why do you want a God punish the peoples? The pagan. Maybe with God, the God of the Old Testament is a cruel God. Well, how do you feel? If you are a mother, you've been told that you're forfeiting first on that. More still, these people kept ladies whose only purpose was to produce children, so they would sacrifice the children, so the children of the rich people would not have to sacrifice theirs. Is the God of the Old Testament a cruel God when he punished those nations? No, it's not. So here we are, you see, this is the way we provoke, why the people, when we know the truth and we depart from the truth, Manasseh does his utmost to provoke God. Because he says that at the end of verse 6, he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. It's not something you just don't want to know about Christ, you don't want to know about God, and you bleed your own way, your own life. No. It's not sufficient. You see, in my life it was not sufficient. in our family. Interesting, because I'm talking about telling the background in our family. Only we are priests, nuns, monks, and criminals. We are witches. Beautiful ladies behind this, I tell you. You meet them, they're very nice. Get ladies, but they will practice your cult. And it's a terrible thing in the Roman Catholic countries. So we have all this, there is all this heritage there which is provoking the Lord to anger. Now, I don't know if you, do you remember when you did something to the body of parents? I used to do that a lot, don't you ever do that. I used to really enjoy promoting my father, especially when American and British mission came around. I loved that. Here they come. And love, you see, coming from a fascist family, Americans and the English were the enemies still in our family. So when an American and British mission came around, World War II was a topic. And I loved the mercy of my father. I provoked. The privilege Manasseh had to know the truth. He knew the Ten Commandments. He knew the consequences of sin, the life of his grandfather. He knew how the Lord has blessed his father, and yet he chose. Turn to John chapter 1. I would like to read a very familiar verse. It's interesting, sometimes as preachers, we are called to preach on familiar verses in this day and age. And I found that very interesting this in churches when I am. I don't know if this is my first time in English, but I go to the church and you assume, well, I was rebuked by a preacher, never assume the congregation know what we're talking about. Even if you've been Christian, don't keep ears. Not because of my pronunciation. John chapter 1, verse 11 to 13. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. You see, my friend, Manasseh was the son of a godly king, but was not godly. Not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. You need to be born again of God, the word of the Holy Spirit in your life. I had an interesting thing. I knew all the Bible passages to attack a Roman Catholic priest. I loved it, especially when my uncle the bishop came around. I loved when he came around. It was like a battlefield scoring points. And I really needed them. I was not born again. I was a Protestant. Had a lot of rage. So provoke is rebellion. There is this verse that is saying in verse 7, it repeats. But the Lord says in Jerusalem I will remain forever. He knows the covenant of God and he provoked the Lord in such a way. And in another part, it says in 1 Kings 1, a cause much shedding of blood. Not only he did not want people to, he wanted to follow the Lord, but he did, verse 9, someone asked that made Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than thee. Whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. To my shame, I say this, in my rebellion, I took my brothers his last brother, the leader.
So my brother Sam and my brother David, they were always on my side.
Marco is my brother, loyal to the end.
So I did cause them to rebel.
My sister was only three, so she couldn't rebel.
But I was involved in inciting the others to rebel.
This is inside the mission, you know? My parents were missionaries.
So not only they are the enemy without, they are the enemy within.
And the Lord is merciful,
isn't it? The Lord is like a warning. And in fact, it was an English missionary that came to visit us, and he started talking to me. And then there was his friend who was an American missionary, and they were different. Because they start talking about forgiveness, Christ. Where would you go if you die? Now that has never been a big problem to me as a young man. I was a very daring boy, not giving you ideas. Not giving you any ideas. I was a daring boy. And I used to also do practical crimes in a school, but that was another story. The Lord really brought me down. You see, the Lord spoke, I was warned that the Lord speaks to Manasseh and his people, but they will not harm. There was a strategy to kill prophets. And well, the Lord brought upon them, verse 11, the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh on the thrones and brought him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. I reached a point in my life as a young man, seeing the level of violence around me, having great disappointments in different areas of my life, having a double life. I was the son of a pastor on Sunday, I was always in church. I lived a prophet. Our church was a coffin factory. You were better building. I lived a prophet, so I could never miss. Unless I was contagious, I would never miss a service. But having had that privilege, and I was a walking concordance, if you could ask me where is this passage, and literally telling my not prudence, not young, telling my English Bible. But this is the comment, the Lord warned me, but I would not listen. Because Marco is Marco. Marco is a stubborn boy. Marco knows God. Marco does not mean God. And Manasseh was the same. Manasseh was warned, but he listened. Manasseh trusted the gods he had adopted because he was like others. So was I. I was a popular student. I had my marks. So one day, not having achieved what I wanted to do, I decided it was time to end my life. Yes. There's no point to live. Why should I live? There's no point. So, so I prepared a system to do so, which did work, and tested it was working. So tried the first time, nothing works. But I was stubborn, and I said to God, "You're not stopping me. There's no way for you to stop me." And I tried the second time. That's why they put it when the affliction came, verse 12. You see, when Manasseh was defeated, was one was defeated, the Lord had to stop him and break his leg. He had to stop him. Because no one can defy the Almighty God and face the consequences of such defiance. And those who have known of that, the privilege to know things of God even worse. And I was afflicted. I broke in tears. But it was one day, I was going to school. I had an testament my mother had given me, and it didn't really buy me much in those days. I preferred Plato to the Bible and Nietzsche. And I sat down, they go to Lothar, to those who don't know who they are, evil people, don't touch them, don't waste your time in reading them. And I went to, I used to commute, because I lived in the mountains and went to the school in town. Went to the pastor, and I remember reading the Gospel of John in one sitting. I suggest you do it. Ignore chapter and verse, read it all in one go, because it opens so many things. And the Lord worked in my heart. As if suddenly everything was clear. Yes, I was brought up in a Christian home. I could tell you, or you ask me, where is this passage? I could tell you the 5 points of Calvinist, I could recite it backwards to you. And I loved the reading of the Romans when I was a little boy, a young man, because of love, not showing off. Everything was clear. I was a sinner, a lost sinner, who had rebelled against the Almighty God, who had ignored his warnings, who had provoked him to anger, who had led others to sin. This is the sign of the pastor talking to you. This is the sign of a missionary. We have a church like this. In a town in a real run-down area of Palermo. Interesting, when the Lord allows us to go through certain things, here in verse 12 we read this, and humble himself greatly, when after humble himself greatly, all my pride was gone. Marcus knows nothing now. Why is all the philosophy studied, all his greatness, all his knowledge gone? Before God his Father, and prayed unto him, oh, I besought the Lord. I entreated him. I knew, I realized, and the consequences. You see, I could hide certain things from my father, but I had certain things from my parents and from the father, but I could not hide anything from God Almighty. I couldn't. You know, you can hide things from other people, but you cannot hide anything from God. He knows it all. And at the end of verse 13 says this. Manasseh prayed unto him, and he was entreated and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. My friend, the question today is, do you know God, or do you know about God? Because the devil believes in God too, and they tremble. They're not saved. There's no redemption for the devil. The devil knows what you and I do. That's what he's hidden. The devil did see God. He was created by God. You and I have never seen God. He has more evidence about the existence of God than you and I have. And yet he's not saved. He can never be saved. Whereas we can. And so I realized that what is in this government, realization, my life changed. What do we do now? Because you see, there's an aspect in conversion. You cannot come to Jesus as you are, as bad as you are, as some people would like to preach. All things must change, the old man must go. There's no room for the old man. Manasseh asked to make reparation. Now the reason why we have to read verse 14, where we see in the scripture that he built the town and the gates, he cares about his people. And interesting, because if you read some legends about Manasseh, Manasseh appears in Jewish legends as a king who does not even care about his people. He would probably never have cared if he was bent to put the Lord to anger, if he shed blood, as 1 Kings 21 tells us, he was a murderous king. Anyone who opposed him was killed. And so he had to do something. So he strained, he built he fortifies the town, and in verse 14 he says, he took away the strange gods. I love books. In fact, pastor, my wife tells us, you know, when I go and visit the pastor, my wife phones the wife and says, don't let my husband hear your husband study. And don't tell your husband not to give him any more books. Because he doesn't need any more books. He's got 22 copies of the King James Bible, we don't understand why. and he's got several sets. Four copies of the same book. In fact, my life, my garage is my library now. Because one of the daughters took my study and, daddy has to give the daughter the room. Now they need space. I had a lot of books, so all those books, which were not Christian, went. I had to apologize to my father. But worse still, I had to apologize to my uncle, the bishop. I have to apologize to him. He doesn't believe the truth. But I have to apologize to my uncle. Yeah. When I went and apologized, I didn't apologize for what I believed. I apologized for the way I treat them. Because I was rude. I don't know if you can, but in our culture to address an older person in some kind of rude manner is regarded, or was regarded as a terrible thing, especially because of a great uncle, wars. And interesting enough, the reaction of my uncle was this. My great uncle was that from time to time we come in close to our meetings. So we had the bishop coming through the door and listening, sitting down at the back listening to my father's preaching. Manasseh had to do repairs, and the Lord gave me grace and joy to see my brothers saved. Manasseh, verse 16 says this, and repair the altars of the Lord and sacrifice their own peace offerings and time offerings and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Now it's my responsibility to my brothers. We don't do that anymore. It's hard to be the first. It is. It's a hard job. And it's interesting. Because he did, but there were still some consequences in the life of Judah. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice, still in high places, yet I'm still believing in God. In the case of Manasseh, we see he tried to repair, but couldn't repair everything. The Lord was merciful to me in many ways, and the things going on in my family, but it's not always the case. It's not always the case. The Lord forgives, but we may have to face the consequences of sin. And it's the pain, the hurt. Now, I don't know your situation, but are you obeying the Lord, or are you provoking the Lord? My friend, I used to sit in church, it was as good as God. I even had that. I was not believing. Now you are believing. You had the privilege. Some of you may have had the privilege to be brought up in a Christian family. Some of you may have had not the privilege to be brought up in a Christian family. But are you a believer, a true believer? Are you promoting the Lord? Don't play the fire. Now that I mean, the Lord is a consuming fire. For the unbeliever, God is a consuming fire. We are, those of the saved, are spared that. But for the unbeliever, God is a consuming fire. But at the same time, you see, the Lord, when asked the dies of Israel, to conclude this, Ammon. Now, everybody neglects Ammon because it's only, four verses long. Ammon was his son, and he began to reign after his father died, and he reigned only 2 years. And he did that which was evil. And he did sacrifice to the calf images. Just imagine, his father brought them out, and he went to the pit, into the rubbish dump to retrieve them. And he did not even humble himself. That means a picture, because he was killed by his own servants. That gives an interesting picture. Do not provoke the Lord, and do not presume the Lord will not judge. The Lord was very patient when Manasseh let him reign for 55 years, but he had no patience. That's a very interesting warning to us all, my friends, because let us not suppose, because Manasseh is the case in which the Lord displays sovereign grace, he displays something which sins about, grace not abounds. But we cannot take it for granted, we cannot presume on that. The Lord judges sin and punishes sinners. Very unpopular message to tell people that God judges sin. So I hope that I hope that you are encouraged in two things. Never to compromise your faith. Because Manasseh wanted to be like the others. You may say, but that may not happen here. Well, it happened in our church. I was one. Never compromise your faith, never compromise the truth for popularity and be like the others. Now my children, I'm not going to school your father, so my children come back home and I start asking because they are friends, can I do this and that, daddy? Because all my friends do it. My answer is very simple, always simple. Your friends are not my children. You are my son. You're not my others. You're not my others. And that was the answer my father used to give to me when we were not home school, went to school. You are not my others, you're my So don't be a hot book or a photo of the world. Be yourself. Important, fair question. And the other thing is never think in terms, well, God does not pay attention to certain detail. I confess the same to you. I arrived here at 9 o'clock. It was coming down with rain. So I was wandering around. My colleague from the office, and I went and sat down at the entrance of the church across the road. A person sees me. Said, you can come in if you want. Well, it was freezing cold, so I went in. And they were having their service. So I observed. And one thing I thought was reflecting me, it was a lady bishop as well. That was interesting. Never met a female bishop in my life. Interesting. And then I was reflecting how easy it would be for any of us to say, well, why should we bother about these things? Details. There are nice people, there are friendly people. But they are not true. They are not true. And it's very interesting to see, my friends, today we have to religious pluralism is a dangerous thing. So, now we need to pray for our salvation. We need the truth. Because Roman Catholics need the truth as well. Remember this, my friend. We cannot say, if I divert a little bit from you, we cannot say that the affirmation of the truth is not our business. And we cannot say that because they have a different religion and they believe in the Trinity, they're okay. Mental assent to what the Bible teaches is not sufficient for salvation. Because you can be to give an illustration. When I first came to England, I came on all Reformed Baptists. So young people meeting me and Mark were very happy, young people meeting all these young people. That young people meeting was my brothers and I, and there was a pastor with four daughters from 200 miles away. We always went to visit this pastor for the daughters as well, but that's a different story. I asked my friend, how did you become a Christian? And this young man, English man, answered me, oh, my father's a Baptist pastor, my grandfather's a Baptist pastor. I said, stop that, come on. My father's a Baptist pastor, my uncle was a Roman Catholic bishop, he has good pedigree. I asked you, when did you become a Christian? They have all the doctrines, correct, all the beautiful King James with black cover. Because after the young people meeting, these people will change and go to this God. And now the Bible gets frank. So, my friend, I want to encourage you to stay strong in the Lord, to not compromise the truth. You are in a missionary position here. England is a missionary. So start thinking England is a Protestant country. England is a missionary field. And you can need to reach people. I sometimes jokingly say in England there must be desperate environment to preach because my accent is so on and so forth. I love encouraging people to reach people. Because they really are. Never switch it. They need, if you know the truth, you have a responsibility to make it known. And the Lord will demand us accountability. What have you done? Let us come before the Lord in prayer. O
Almighty God, we come before thy presence once more. We thank thee for the record in the scriptures of the conversion of Manasseh, who was such an evil king, and he was such a terrible man, a sinful man, who did his uttermost to provoke thee to anger. And thou, thy mercy, thy sovereign grace, thou called him to repentance and faith in due time, despite of his murders, rebellion, and witchcraft, and provocation. Thou art the truly true God. Great is thy mercy. Lord, we pray today for those whom we know of, who are monasteries. Those for whom parents are praying and shedding tears. And we also pray that we will not have monasteries among us, that I will prevent it, that I will protect each one of us from becoming a monastery, provoking thee. Keep us in the faith, O Lord, we beseech thee. Keep us closer to Christ, we implore thee. Renew our hearts, strengthen our hearts to have the faith according to thy word. May thy word be constantly our guide and our lamp to our feet. Encourage this church here in Timothy to reach the lost to the message of the gospel of grace. Lord, we are grateful that the doctrines of grace grant us such an assurance that when we preach the gospel, souls will be added to thy church. We do not have to serve Christ. We do not have to convict people. The Holy Spirit does it. And I pray for these young people here present today, Lord, that thou wilt bless them and keep them and make them grow in the ways of the Lord. And that this church will grow stronger in the truth and in love and in reaching the lost. We pray for the salvation of Roman Catholic friends and family who may have. Oh Lord, have mercy because they are blinded by false religion. And although even Protestants out there are blinded by religion which has been diluted and that which has departed from the scriptures. Have mercy, Lord, we pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Dear friends, our closing hymn is 5:54. And I hope it's built. Nothing less. But Jesus' blood and righteousness, I dare not trust in Jesus Christ by holding the link in Jesus' name. What is he for? Still, tender of his things. Do so.